Want to take the fast track to your career in technology? Earn your computer science degree online from Oregon State University eCampus and tap into unlimited career possibilities in any field. This 100% online program offers flexible academic plans so you can balance rigorous coursework with your life commitments. Learn more at ecampus.oregonstate.edu/rebound. That's ecampus.oregonstate.edu/rebound. Also, folks, if you want to support the show, you want to help us get great advertisers, the way to do that is to tell us a little bit more about yourself. So go to podsurvey.com/rebound and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little bit better. That way we can show advertisers just how great you are. Once you've completed the survey, you can choose to enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. So it's podsurvey.com/rebound, podsurvey.com/rebound. Thanks for your help.
I was just saying before the show, this is the first day I think I didn't put my watch on this morning. I kind of like, it was, you know, it's a holiday. I didn't really leave the house today. I was like in my pajamas till like noon. So I was like, I just won't put on the watch today. And I was finding how annoying it was to have my phone buzz all the time instead of my watch.
Instead of your wrist buzz?
Well, that's the thing. I've learned what a wrist buzz means. But now every time there's a phone buzz, like, oh, I got to dig the phone out of my pocket and try to figure out if that was like an important thing or an unimportant thing. So what I'm saying is, I like my Apple Watch.
Lex lives like that all the time.
I don't get
it's
it, Lex.
Exactly right.
It sounds so frustrating.
Oh, it's great.
The frustration?
Yes.
He okay. thrives on, on frustration. He
eats frustration for breakfast.
That sounds horrible.
That does sound horrible.
It doesn't sound nutritious, that's for damn sure.
Also that, yeah, right.
Well, it's 24 hours almost about before we kick, or sorry, before, after we kicked off our inaugural Rebound Mario Kart tournament.
Yeah, we should probably cover,
recap some highlights.
Do we really have a good sense of what happened?
There were some connection errors, there was some audio dropouts, I mean, about what you expect.
So my setup was a little flawed at the beginning.
Yeah, there were some issues happening at the multi-household.
I had an unfair setting.
Got a bad motivator.
I had a bad well, you know, that's what they say about me. But and then as I recall, we got two full like four course races done after that. Right?
That sounds about right. I think you took home the bacon on the first one.
I
narrowly.
Took the first one, and you took the second one by scooting in front of me at the very end of every single race.
That's my strategy. Come from behind.
I don't like that strategy.
I think it's clear that I am the worst.
All right, but I gotta say, before the next time, you gotta get in some 150cc training, because none of this 50cc shit is gonna stand.
No, I've done a lot of 150cc.
Okay, all right, it's just Lex.
Yeah.
Well, I mostly play with Liam, and he mostly plays on 50cc, and I don't know. The other stuff is faster. It's harder.
Well, it is harder, but you know, I'll give you the counter. The counterpoint is the races go much faster.
True.
You can squeeze a lot more races in because they're shorter.
Okay. Well, I'll do some experimenting. Yeah, I gotta get Liam to be motivated up to those higher speeds.
It's it is an adjustment. I'm not gonna lie, but I find the game more satisfying at the higher speeds.
Like, and you don't want him learning about 150cc's on the street.
I mean, the reality of it is this: I literally never play by myself. I almost exclusively am playing if it's with him, and I want him to have fun. But if I can get him to try 100 and he likes it, then the thing he doesn't like is having his ass handed to him by the computer. He doesn't love when I beat him, but he doesn't mind it the same way.
Fair. I mean, that's the struggles we all got to deal with in life.
That's true. Yeah. Right.
Well, also, I think there is some, at least in my household, I don't know about you guys, there's a little bit of hue and cry for a family and friends edition where we bring along our partner of choice, because I got a little side eye last night.
Well, it was not, you know, you should have mentioned that before.
Yeah, you should have. That was on me. That is on me.
Because, I had the same question, and I said, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's just us. It's just the host.
Yeah, just the host. But apparently... We all have loving family members who would love to take part. So we'll do it again. We'll do it again.
We'd love to crush us at Mario Kart.
Did you ever figure out why our Twitch stream was getting interrupted?
I couldn't figure this out. So apparently, the reports of the people, and certainly if you were streaming and want to chime in on Twitter, you know where to find us, was that the audio from the Skype. Like, basically, we were running a Skype chat, and what I was doing is running that through loopback mixed with my mic into Game Capture HD, which is the software that works with the Elgato capture box I've got. And sometimes it mixes game audio from the pass-through box and whatever audio input you specify on its own, and even like ducks the game volume when you start talking. So it's fairly sophisticated. I don't know if something didn't play well with loopback, but at some point it sounded like our audio would drop out, but the game audio would continue. So yeah, if I'm misunderstanding that, somebody who was watching, please let me know, because that's a little strange. That sounds like a Game Capture HD problem. If it was just losing all audio, then loopback was probably doing something wacky, but it was going in and out, which is the part I don't get. Like,
if there's a way to disable the ducking, that feels like a potential win.
Yeah, I might be able to do that for next time. I need to find a better way to test the whole mixing setup, because the problem at first was that I could hear, like, we could all hear each other, but the audio was just you guys and not me. So I had to mix my mic in, and then I could hear my own mic and at a delay, which was maddening. So yeah, that needed some
tweaking. I just found playing you guys in Mario Kart was maddening. Yeah, so we all had problems.
you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, but it's cool. I mean, like, the fact that software is literally almost one button broadcast to Twitch is pretty handy, because we tried that on the Incomparable with some stuff before, and it always was kind of a pain compared to sort of a Google's like broadcast directly to YouTube stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I will play around with that for the future, but I'll need to test out the whole audio setup, because I think that's what makes it fun, having the trash talk.
That's right. That's what I was there for.
You did great.
Thanks. Good. I was worried. So we want to talk about news.
Let's do it.
Or near news, rather.
Near news. Yeah.
Yeah. Rumors of various Apple products coming. So
we spoiled everything.
Yeah. Spoiled your dinner and spoiled the rest of 2019. Ming-Chi Kuo. Yep. Says, now let's go. We go down the list. Please hold your applause until all the items are mentioned. 16-inch MacBook Pro with an all-new design, AirPower and new AirPods in the first half of 2019. Two new iPad Pro models, 10.2-inch iPad, and iPad Mini 5.
Is that four iPad models?
That's four iPads.
Okay.
Please do not applaud. 2009. iPhones can wirelessly charge other devices.
Whack.
Featuring frosted glass and larger batteries and more. And Apple is said to release a 31.6 inch 6K display, getting back into the display business, and a new Apple Watch with new ceramic casing and ECG support for more countries.
Ooh.
Now you may applaud.
Thank you. Oh, very good. For these, very good. I'm applauding your reading, John. That was
potential
for me.
These potential products.
It's a lot of shit.
It's a lot of shit. I mean, I have a. And some of these are kind of wacky.
Yeah, wirelessly charging other devices with your iPhone, like,
yeah,
maybe your AirPods. I guess that could kind of make sense.
I think the idea is to put your phone down, you can put your AirPods on top.
I really want to charge my iPad from my iPhone. I guess that's an option.
I'm going to charge my MacBook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The idea
that's
is
right.
You stack the iPad and the iPhone together. They charge each other. And then
that's right.
Oh, what if you put the AirPods motion machine in between them like a sandwich?
AirPod sandwich.
More like a s'more.
Yeah, does the AirPod charge twice as fast? It just works, guys.
Unless you get the black ones. Another rumor they're going to be available in black as well, which I would buy. Well, that would be my preferred color, frankly.
Okay, a 16-inch MacBook Pro. Yeah, okay. I mean, like, with the smaller bezels, it's probably not
that
much bigger.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Inch,
like,
right?
Supposedly, like, if you just cut the bezels back, you can get 16, about 16 inches out of the current form factor.
Right. I mean, the 12.1 MacBook is not that far off the 11-inch MacBook Air, for example. Like,
right. Right.
Yeah, and obviously the 11-inch iPad Pro is, not that much bigger than like a 9.7-inch iPad from years ago. So, bezels. Got to get rid of those things.
Nobody likes them bezels.
Nobody likes bezels. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, four iPads. That seems like a lot.
Nobody likes Jeff Bezos. Yeah, four new iPads. That seems kind of crazy. Although, I mean, I guess the two new Pro models.
They'd just be bumps.
Well, no, not really. Why not would that you expected.
Add, why would you add more?
Oh, maybe. I mean, I guess maybe later in the year, but that seems even early. But well, at the rate that they're going now. So, yeah. Frankly, if I had to pick something that I don't think is going to happen from this list, I would say the new iPad Pro models.
I would agree. That would seem a really fast, because those were late last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd buy a larger. I'm not even sure about the 10.2 iPad. I kind of feel like Apple keeps you know, basically slightly revising the 9.7 inch for the low end of its lineup. I can't see why it would necessarily feel like we've got to put a lot more money into this thing, which is kind of holding down the cheap price point.
You know, we're counting these SKUs, Tim. Well, just want you to know, we have a big spreadsheet and we're keeping track of all the SKUs.
Here's my question. The guy who MacRumor cites for all of these rumors, does he have a good track record? Is he proven?
Well, this guy's been around for Ming-Chi Kuo, who's been around for a long time, and he is considered... I rolled my eyes a little bit at the fawning nature of some of the coverage here, especially a place that I know that we've all worked for at various points, which referred to this as the Apple's best analyst just gave his 2019 predictions. And I was like, first of all, he doesn't work for Apple, guys. That's a weird headline. Second of all, like, it kind of feels like giving up. Well, our job here is done. This guy said what Apple's entire lineup is, so we're going home, which I find a little eye-rolling. And he just, I mean, he got a lot of coverage, though, for this, and he's got a good enough track record that people are willing to believe at least some of it.
He's better than, he's better than most, certainly.
Yeah, I don't know.
He does not always get everything right.
Right, but I mean, in theory...
He's better than me, let's put it that way.
I don't mean to... listen, I think it's important. When I worked for Macworld, my goal was to get as many scoops and stories as I possibly could, but like... When we say that somebody's a good analyst because they can predict what Apple's going to do, it means he's got a good source and probably just one, right? He's got one person who is willing to tell him what's going on who has inside knowledge. Maybe more than one, but like that's what it comes down to. Like when anybody is like, hey, I know this secret thing that's coming from Apple, it's because somebody told them. It's not because they divined it from tea leaves.
Exactly.
They got somebody who tells them.
Well, and more to the point, I mean, then you raise several questions, right? One, if you have a source at Apple, unless it is a very high-level source, the number of product lines that they're going to give you information on is going to be limited. Yeah. Because most of the people don't deal across all the product lines.
You don't know what everybody else is doing.
Exactly. Right. So, unless your source is in like the executive level, right? And those people don't have much of a motivation to give information to these analysts. Like, this is not a structured leak like the whole, you know, Apple leaks the iPad is under $1,000 to the Wall Street Journal back in 2010, right? Like, this is a broad set of things that doesn't really help Apple that much, arguably, especially if some of them end up getting proved wrong.
Yeah.
So, I would still continue to take this with a grain of salt.
I'm sure some of them will pan out.
Well, that's the thing. But better than the house average? I mean, like, better than a roll of dice?
Probably. I don't know. But what, assuming all these rumors are true, what gets you excited? What thing are you most intrigued by?
I don't need any.
I feel like somebody other than me should go first.
I mean,
all the things.
No. Just, like, AirPods, basically.
Yeah, we know where John's coming from.
Yeah, see? So that's why I said.
Of the things I'm most likely to buy, it's probably still the AirPower for reasons that I've discussed in the past. Well, I mean, all right, I'm going to get a new iPhone probably because I have a problem, apparently. But the rest of the things don't really have... I mean, a 31.6-inch 6K display sounds awesome, but I'm not going... I literally do not have room for that.
Yeah.
Nor
I certainly don't have room for it in my budget.
Yeah, not in my budget and not on my desk. I mean, that's the kind of thing that is being rumored to go with presumably a new Mac Pro, which is supposed to be on the docket for this year at some point. And that is a fair question because what else? Otherwise, you're looking to buy a third-party display for the Mac Pro, which is possible. But the last time Apple tried to pull that, it did not go well.
Right.
And I know I'm like perseverating on this one thing, but I'm just some of the stories, like The Verge talks about how he's predicting these things. He's not predicting these things. He's reporting that he believes they're going to make these things. It's a little bit different. There's a nuance there.
Somebody told him that this was going to happen.
I would be most interested in the 16-inch laptop. I like gigantic laptops. I don't mind if they're heavy. I also use a gigantic iPad. Let me ask you guys this, unrelated, for a moment. Have you heard about Joybird, the company behind the revolution in online furniture shopping? Joybird offers one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options. From mid-century modern to contemporary classics, all customizable in an amazing array of fabric choices, from rich buttery leather and plush velvets to every color imaginable. There's even a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery available, as well as free personal design consultants to help nail down your perfect design. And with Joybird's 365-day home trial, you can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, and break it in. And if you don't love your Joybird, return it for a full refund. In-home delivery is hassle-free. They'll even remove all the packing materials, and returns are free within 2 weeks of delivery. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/rebound. Go to joybird.com/rebound and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the promo code, you guessed it, rebound. One last time, joybird.com/rebound.
What is a frosted glass? I mean, first of all, it sounds delicious. Don't get me wrong.
It's a glass with frosting on it.
Okay. All right.
No, it's you've seen frosted glass before.
I have, but why would you use this on a phone? Is it the back? Is it the back, presumably? Not the front. That would be ridiculous.
Yes, that would be bad.
Check out my display, my frosted glass display.
The cool new feature of the iPhone is glaucoma vision.
Oh, we found the only thing better than a display is the ability to not read your display. It's really like
Let's
taking
face
that
it,
whole...
There's a lot of really bad online content right now.
It's taking screen time to a whole new level. So there's a little more breakdown on Mac Rumors of some of the other stuff he's putting in there, including so no USB-C, same notch, some other like wide, you know, improvements to the wireless chips, the triple camera, which has been rumored heavily, in terms of having the back of the camera just like, or the back of the phone just stick more cameras on there till the whole back is a camera.
Better safe than sorry.
A new 13-inch MacBook Pro with an additional option of 32 gigabytes, presumably of RAM. This is a terrible graphic. I'm sorry. The forecast of graphic is hilariously and strangely put together. So I'm trying to slightly interpret some of it. New iPod Touch comes with an upgraded AP.
Oh, this is podcasting gold right here. That's going to be
some kind of processor.
A processor, one of the AX chips.
Oh, okay. Why wouldn't you just write that out?
Exactly. Yeah. Why? What is this bizarre shorthand that nobody else uses? Yeah.
Well, there's the pig for the iPhone.
There's a lot happening.
Kangaroo for the watch. I don't know. This
yeah, rabbit.
Whole thing is insane.
Some of that sounds fine. It's usual with Apple, the devil's in the details, right? The question is going to be implementation on all of these things. So you can get the leaks about the specs for some of this, but it's not going to tell the whole story until we know how that's being presented, what the trade-offs are, what the software component is like. All of those sort of, you know, remain major factors in how these products work. I mean, like, you know, the new iPads, as good as they've been in the past, I think most people would agree that the limitations on the iPad side are in software now. And that's not something that's necessarily going to be fixed by a larger screen size on something, right? Like, we've all gotten pretty comfortable with a larger screen. Yeah, I understand how that will change my iPad experience or my iPhone experience, but it's not, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest impact on our lives.
Yeah, and certainly none of this speaks to Apple sort of rationalizing the product line a little bit.
Oh yeah, if anything, I don't think
they really need to go back to an incredibly simple quadrant like they had, you know, in 1998. But it is getting a little crazy.
Right. Well, this includes both the suggestion of remount, which we've heard before, the relaunching the iPad Mini and a new iPod Touch, which sounds bananas.
Well,
to
they
me.
Are still those are still technically products in the lineup right now.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but like, why would you want to devote more? I mean, the sheer breadth of iOS devices starts to feel practically Samsung-esque at that point.
Right. Right.
So I don't know. That seems like a lot of stuff for people.
Yes.
I mean, there are certainly arguments for buying multiple iOS devices. We all own multiple iOS devices, but I don't think necessarily that you're going to find people who are, I don't know. Are there really corners of the markets that are not being appealed to? I guess, maybe, but
small phone people, yeah.
But none of that helps you.
And none of that is part of this. It's very insulting.
It's like the scene in the movie where somebody like shoots at the guy and then like shoots the silhouette entirely around them, right? Without
hitting
them.
Can we dive deep on this topic for a moment? Why do you prefer that smaller phone size, John? I know we've talked about this eons ago, but we make frequent jokes about the fact that you love the SE size. What is it that makes you prefer it to the other sizes?
I prefer the way it feels in my hand. I prefer the fact that I can easily reach all corners of the phone without like doing some sort of delicate maneuver that it makes me think that I'm going to drop it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want a gigantic phone in my pocket.
Where do you want a gigantic phone?
What you're saying is
between the sheets.
You need bigger pockets is what I'm hearing.
But yeah, I need some sort of
that is a Steve Jobs pitch. What I'm
a
hearing,
dedicated jacket is what
I'm
I
hearing
need,
is you need a bigger pocket.
Right. I'm pocketing wrong.
With our new foldable iPhone.
I'm not alone.
No, of course you're not. And
to me, I would say that this is like the biggest unsatisfied part of the market right now across Apple's. Other than maybe like better keyboards.
Yeah, people who like keyboards.
People who like keyboards are definitely not satisfied right now. But I think now,
you
people
used
who,
a larger size iPhone for a while, right? You spent a year at least with one of
yeah,
the
I had a
larger
six.
Phones.
I used a six. I used a six for a year, and then I used a 6S until the iPhone SE came out. So like a year and a half.
Right? Yeah, so you gave it a fair shake. So I get it because like I'm using now the 10S, and I guess there are larger phones than this, right? There's like the 10S Max or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But the 10S, like I have to do a little bit of gymnastics to get that top corner, but just barely. And I don't really mind it. I never think to myself, boy, I wish this thing were smaller.
Well, I think
this is why they make different things.
Some of it is a different like grip. You get used to it. That's the thing. I agree with you, Lex. Like,
except
I
Moltz didn't.
Yeah,
right?
I did not. Later.
Do we have? I mean, we are both taller than John. Do we have bigger hands than John? It's possible.
I mean, you might have slightly bigger hands. My hands are not like tiny or anything, but they are probably smaller than yours.
Okay.
You don't consider yourself a small fingered Bulgarian.
But that doesn't address the pocket size. Are your pockets bigger than mine?
I mean, we wear bigger pants.
Does that correlate? I don't know. I mean,
I think it must.
I actually think this is actually a somewhat related story to that. I bought a couple new pairs of jeans recently, and I walked down the street, and I actually get frustrated now because the pocket this is like totally a first world problem. Pockets on my jeans are actually too big because I'll notice when I'm walking that my phone will like slide over till it's on like the front of my thigh instead of on like the side, or sometimes it'll tilt in one direction, which just feels like super awkward to walk when
Dan,
it's like
it's not that kind of show.
we're gonna take this offline for the after dark.
I have a real pocket problem.
We're gonna need a second explicit tag on this episode.
Super really explicit.
My pockets are too big.
There's the explicit tag where you're warning people, think about whether or not you want to listen to this podcast, and then there's the explicit tag that says, no, you really want to listen to this podcast.
It was relevant.
I do think they're going to make you another small phone, John. I believe it.
I hope you're right, but
I am. Skeptical.
You were famously wrong once before.
you'll really never
me.
Forgive me. You know,
to
I wasn't responsible for what happened in that election.
That's not. Yeah, that's not the point. Okay. You assured me it was not going to happen.
And wasn't that optimism nice for a couple of days?
Well, I suppose so.
I
don't know that it helped that much.
You know, it's interesting. I got into a bit of a Twitter, let's say, discussion, contretemps. I don't know what to say, but with an old colleague Rob Griffiths. Rob Griffiths worked at Macworld, and he made a comment today about the Apple video streaming service, about how he becomes less interested in it the more he hears, and all the things he'd rather have Apple to do, like build a great MacBook Pro without a touch bar, release the new Mac Pro, create iPad OS, focus on software excellence. Now, if you don't know Rob, Rob has a reputation when even, you know, when he worked at Macworld as being kind of, you know, like a grumpy old man. And I think I think Rob would agree with that 100%. Like, I don't think he is unaware that that is how he is perceived, or even that who's who he is. But, you know, something about that, I guess, maybe just rubbed me the wrong way, because I feel like I sort of jumped in with that. Like, I don't think that's how that really works, right? Like, there's no reason Apple can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And certainly you could make the argument that at the high end somewhere, there may be a prioritization in terms of what resources are eventually allocated to one team or another. But it's not as though Apple is short on any of the resources, and it's not as though the people working on the streaming service are people who would otherwise be building keyboards. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess my feeling on that is I don't think that you couldn't do both, but maybe they do need to do better at other things. That's fine. I don't know if you guys feel like, do you guys have a feeling about like Apple's priorities in terms of where they stand right now and whether or not that's like something that you...
I'll tell you, my answer is not exactly the same as yours. I saw that debate and I agreed with you in general that like Apple can do more than one thing, and Apple working on a video streaming service in theory should have no impact on its ability to create a different keyboard or something else. And I think you're right that, you know, at some point you have to decide where resources are going to be allocated, but they have so many resources to allocate that I'm not super worried about that. I would say that I also, my counter argument to Rob is just that, in general, as an overall institution, Apple is typically smarter than we are, right? Because they spend millions and millions of dollars on research and development, and we don't. We just look and say, you should have made that thing bigger.
Have you not seen our research and development budget?
There's only three of us, too, and there's like way more of them.
There's way more of them. So in general, I'm saying collectively, like all the pundits in the world don't know all the things about Apple that Apple does, obviously, right? So, which I know is a little bit reductive and everything else, but like, so I think that if they're seeing that there is a market for this, like clearly there is a streaming market. And I think that there are just like, there are people who, for whom Spotify will never be right, or who don't want to use an Echo. Like there's basically the John Maltzes of the world. And for Apple to just cede those, you know, areas to those people doesn't really make sense. It does make sense for Apple to continue to explore other places where it can go. And frankly, the more successful Apple can be, the better off we all are. Not that Apple has any risk of doomedness anytime soon, right? So Apple, whether they sell fewer iPhones than they used to, or fewer Macs than they used to, or whatever else, like they're not going anywhere for a long, long time. But Apple having continued success means it can continue to develop other things. So I like Apple flexing its creative muscle. I don't know if I would say that Apple Music strikes me as super creative. Like I think the biggest thing that they were feeling creative about was the Beats One radio station, or whatever it is, right. Literally nobody ever talks about ever. And maybe its For You list is better or as good as other competitors, but like it's commodity. It's the same music. A streaming video service is likely very similar. It'll have their originals and then it'll just be like every other streaming service. But I think that my take is this, is that I understand why the curmudgeons among us would say, hey, why are you focusing on this when you should be focusing on my priority instead? I think you're right, Dan, that they don't have to choose. It's not really, I can only do this one thing or the other thing. And like, a successful Apple that's doing lots of things overall is good. You need to have really good business leaders with their own P&Ls who can advocate for themselves and say, hey, we need to do more of this and more of that and whatever. But like this service does not frighten me any more than other things that Apple makes that I don't use frighten me.
Yeah, here.
I'm not scared of Apple Music.
Yeah, I would agree with all. I agree with all that.
You know what I am scared of, though?
What are you scared of, Lex?
I'm scared that we might have some listeners who are paying high interest rates on their credit cards. And if they are sick and tired of doing so, they might want to consider consolidating multiple credit card payments down to one payment at a lower rate. If that sounds like something you should do, Lightstream is a no-brainer. Refinance your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up and there are zero fees. Apply online in minutes. It's so easy, you don't even need to leave your house. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Maltz, you checked out Lightstream. Any thoughts you'd like to share with the class?
You mentioned no brainer. Well, I am a no brainer, Lex, and I found the website very easy to understand, and I don't think anybody will have a problem figuring out what they need to do in order to do this. And as I've said multiple times on this very podcast, if you have credit card debt that you're rolling over every month, you should consolidate it and get it on a payment system that is not charging you ridiculous rates. And the credit cards are certainly charging you ridiculous rates. So do this if you have this problem.
Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/rebound. LightStream.com/rebound. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/rebound for more information. That's the other thing I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Sense. Are you worried about Huawei stealing Apple's trade secrets?
Am I?
I don't think they're going to get Huawei with it.
Well, it's too early to end the show.
That's true.
I actually don't know this news story.
Yeah.
I know that the U.S. government
apparently have made a bunch of efforts to try to get Apple's trade secrets. Am I reading this correctly? Bank fraud, wire fraud, and obstruction of justice.
by
going after the people who make iPhones.
Oh wow, I see this now. I hadn't seen the story, but so
yeah,
some leaked notes basically when Huawei is writing to some of its vendors who are also Apple suppliers, the note suggests a design you already have experience with.
I'm just shocked that they'd ever think they could get the 11 secret spices and herbs. I think that seems too hard.
It's always good to know that somebody on this podcast will drag down a story by making a shitty joke.
I like it when it's Dan's turn.
Yeah, I think so too. It's usually you and me.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's usually Dan sharing the news. We're pulling
a lot of the weight here.
I will be the agent of chaos this week.
Huawei, former advertiser on this show.
That's true. Probably worth mentioning.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. So that's good.
Well, I just feel like, you know, when you got to do those disclosures. Yep. Listen, when Gruber wrote about Eero getting acquired by Amazon, he said Eero is a frequent sponsor of this site and of the talk show. Yeah, Huawei has in the past sponsored the show and never will again.
There was that part where they stole our trade secrets, and the show really went downhill after that.
The thing that bummed me out was when they launched a new podcast called The Rebound. I thought that was inappropriate. But other than that.
Yeah, then they changed the name to The Rebound Bound.
Well, they contacted me and used wire fraud, and I told them all of our secrets.
They're like, well, say the kinds of things you might say on another podcast.
And I said, sure.
Yeah, here, let me tell you about the iPhone SE.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, I mean, Huawei has been up to some shady shit for a while. And
this episode is also brought to you by Huawei. Just
I was told that would not happen. Yeah, they've been up to a lot of shady shit. Nothing about this surprises me. There was a thing. Oh, where was it recently? There was another thing with somebody stealing stuff. The indictments against them
go beyond Apple, right? So I'm reading a Mac rumor story right now, but it says that in addition to the bank and wire fraud issues against their CFO, they've also been indicted for lying to the government, destroying documents, attempting to move key employees back to China to impede the DOJ. And then they also have indictments for stealing trade secrets, wire fraud, and obstructing justice for stealing robotic technology from T-Mobile in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. So, I think I saw the T-Mobile thing. That was what it was.
Get more. They took robotics for testing smartphone durability from T-Mobile. So there you go.
It's funny. I was just watching, Kat and I watched a Australian miniseries on Netflix called Secret City, which is like a spy series. And of course, because it's in Australia, it's like mainly about Australia being kind of stuck between China and the U.S. So there was kind of, I feel like this is kind of linked into like some of the stuff that was happening in that TV show in terms of like stealing secrets. It also goes into like Australians want to put in like backdoors and all their like security technology, which is an actual thing that Australia government has tried to do.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I feel like this is very much true to life.
Good move.
Yeah. Woot.
Smart.
Yeah. Yep.
How could it ever backfire? How could it ever backfire?
If you have anything to hide, then you have no reason to be worried, John. That's what I've always been told.
That's why I print out everything on my phone.
That's smart. That's smart. I have a I have a personal anecdote to share on an unrelated subject.
Please.
Which is
we're doing our dotes? Okay.
I had to think about it for a minute. That was the worst part. Recording late at night is tough. So I've had this intermittent issue with my Mac Mini. I have a 2012 Mac Mini, and every once in a while I would start it up and it would give me the circle with the slash through it, which means can't find a Mac OS installation. And usually after a reboot or two, it would come around. It failed to come around this week and will no longer boot. And as I discovered after finally getting into the recovery partition, it's because it sees the solid state drive that I installed several years ago to make my own Fusion drive. That solid state drive now registers as 33 kilobytes, which is not what it was.
But that should be enough for anyone.
Should be enough for anyone. So I cannot basically boot or get any of the data off that because it's a Fusion drive. So it's one volume spread across two drives, one of which is now 33 kilobytes. So
I hope you have a backup, Dan.
I do. I have many backups. So I'm not, this is why I'm not like super panicking because that's my canonical data store. And I have both a local super duper clone as well as Backblaze. I have a new SSD Samsung SSD sitting here that I'm planning on installing. But then I'm a little frustrated because installing things in the Mac Mini for the hard drive is a pain in the ass. As I learned the first time I opened it up, because the hard drives are at the top of the case and you have to go in through the bottom, which means you got to remove literally everything.
Right.
And very carefully unscrew things and disconnect wires and shit like that. So I was talking to Jason Snell about this last week and he suggested, oh, you should put in a better like hard spinning disk hard drive in there. Because ironically, the spinning disk drive was not the thing that died, even though it's 6 years old. Wow. And then the problem is I was just like, I'm not sure I can find it. I'm not even sure. Can you even buy spinning disk hard drives?
Yes, you can.
You can. But trying to find one in the right size and the right capacity, I was like, I don't even know what vendor to buy from these days. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do that or not. But also, it's like I am running, because I use a super duper clone that has to be, it has to be, that drive has to be as large as, if not larger, than the drive it is cloning, for obvious reasons. And I had to upgrade that backup drive at one point because it was too small. It was like a 1 terabyte drive. And because I put the solid state drive in, it was backing up 1.2 terabytes of information, which obviously it's not going to be able to fit. So I've
heard a lot of people complain about hybrid drives.
Yeah, they're
and
not.
I'm wondering if it's really worth your effort to do that, or if it's just better to put the operating system on an SSD and then everything else on a spinning hard drive.
Yeah, that is an option.
Or get like a really big SSD, because they're like not that expensive anymore.
That is the other option. Yeah.
Or just do all your computing on an iPad.
Or
print it all out like I do.
Or buy a new Mac Mini.
That's the winning money right there. And then send me the 2012 Mac Mini.
I'm very happy with my 2012 Mac Mini. I agree with you, John, that the Fusion drives are not always the most reliable, though I will say in this case, I think it's mainly down to, after doing some digging and talking to some people, that particular SSD drive seems to have some known jankiness to it. So I think it was possibly that drive that went terribly awry. Technically, that drive was under warranty, and I could probably return it for another drive. But if they're just going to give me another shitty drive, that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, really. Well,
I don't know.
How many years was it?
It's only like a couple years old. It's under. Oh, okay. It's got like a 3-year limited warranty.
The other one was 6 years old.
Yeah, okay. It's a 2012 now.
That's the one that came in it. Was in it when you bought it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it's the standard drive that's in there. So
yeah.
I mean, I understand, you know, arguably there is a good reason to just replace that with like a faster SSD, but like I got to open up the whole thing anyways and the drive still works. So yeah, that's a question of pain now or pain later, or possibly pain now and pain later.
That's the way I like to
anyways,
do it.
Anyways, I wanted to share my terrible tech. I had a bad technology day a couple like last Thursday or something, where it's like everything started kind of going crazy. And that was like the icing on the cake was the Mac Mini dying. But the biggest impact on my
life from that, it's the icing on the glass.
Sorry, the icing on the frosted glass. The biggest downside from that mainly right now is that my Plex is offline.
Yeah, I was going to say, this must be your Plex machine.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been fun.
At some point, Dan, you got to switch to that sweet network dash storage device solution instead.
I keep thinking about it, but yeah, I like having
not doing it.
I do because so
does the NAS do a Plex all on its own?
It can.
I mean, I don't use Plex, but it uses some kind of universal plug and play situation where various devices, including Roku and just my regular dumb smart TV, like it is a smart TV but an older one, can all see it, and they're like, "Hey, do you want to watch any of the stuff that's on there?"
Yeah, Plex can hook into. I believe they make stuff that works with many popular NAS solutions. I think the issue for me is I have stuff that runs on the Mac Mini as like a server, like a VPN and stuff like that. Right. So that is handy, but it is probably overkill for some of that. So yeah, I don't know. It's also, I realized, I'm glad that I did not, it's still running like Sierra. So I'm glad that I did not have that problem rear its head when I was trying to update to like Mojave or something, or else probably would have been even more fucked.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
You still got time for that.
Thank God.
I will say, as a pro tip to folks who are considering using network and dash storage devices, I use one from Western Digital. Using the official Western Digital app sometimes to browse. Like if I'm out to dinner and I'm thinking about, hey, kids, do we want to watch a movie tonight when we're home? I will load up the WD app, the Western Digital app, to see what's there. Like, and it would often tell me, hey, I lost the internet connection. And then I realized it only tells me it lost the internet connection when I navigate into one folder within that drive. And it only does so with the folder that has too many movies in it.
Yeah,
so at some point, I have to break that down into subfolders, which I haven't yet done and am thinking about doing soon. But that is my pro tip. I also think that it'd be okay if we had better error messages. Just going to put that there too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. Actually, this morning I got up and I went to, I'd gotten the notice that the Canary was offline. And like it happens sometimes that it gets knocked offline or whatever. So I didn't think much about it. And then I went into the kitchen and the Sonos One was immediately giving, like, if I asked for something, it would immediately be like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't take queries right now. It's like, oh, this is weird. So I'm using my phone on the Wi-Fi network. And then I walked into the living room and the Harmony was offline, but then the other Echo was online and all the computers and the Apple TV were online. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why is half the stuff on the network out? Don't know what. Restarted the router. Everything seems fine now, but that was super weird.
I actually had an issue a week or two ago where I came home from work and the kids were telling me that some of their Sonos speakers were not online, but other Sonos speakers were online.
Interesting.
And when you go through the Sonos connection process, it's like wait for the flashing green light, and you say, well, it's actually solid white, and it says, oh, well, then that device is already online, but it's not showing it to you. And you know, I power cycled one and it came back and it was visible, and I power cycled the next one and nothing happened, and I was like, well, I could try to figure this out, but let's see if Sonos wants to help. So I called Sonos's 800 number and it's like, hey, you're waiting to talk to us and you're on hold. You'll get faster support if you tweeted us. You'll get response in minutes if you tweeted us, but you can keep holding if you want for another 45 minutes. So I stayed on hold and I tweeted at them, and they tweeted back within a couple minutes. And eventually I hung up because they were tweeting so much and they helped me. And basically what they said was, all the Sonoses are online, but they're not working, like you say, because you send them your diagnostic. And they're like, restart your you have some kind of mesh router system, which is correct. I have Amazon's Eero, which was busy trying to hear everything happening in my house, hence it got confused. Exactly. But just restarting the Eero fixed all the Sonoses. So if you're having networking problems at home, restart those routers. Yeah,
turn it off and on again.
Yeah. We invented that here at The Rebound.
That's why we call it The Rebound.
They now talk about that on The Rebound Bound.
I think we should turn this podcast off and turn it back on again.
I don't think we should turn it back on again. it's funny because we're terrible.